This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahi ar-rahman ar-rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِ قَلْبِي وَسَدِّدْ لِسَانِي وَاسْلُلْ سَخِيمَةَ قَلْبِي آمين يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the most beautiful, the most excellent names of Allah the Exalted. And today, inshallah, we will look at the name of Allah, Ar-Ra'uf. Ar-Ra'uf, the one who is very, very compassionate, the one who is very, very kind to his servants. Now, the name Ar-Ra'uf, or as some say, this is not a name, rather it is a sifa, an attribute. This name occurs 10 times in the Quran. And the name of Allah, Ar-Ra'uf, it is derived from the word Ra'fa. And Ra'afa is to show compassion or to show sympathy and pity towards someone. And Ra'uf is on the structure of Fa'ul. So Ra'uf is someone who shows a lot of pity, who shows a lot of compassion, who shows a lot of tenderness towards another. But there's another word in the Arabic language which is more commonly known, which gives a similar meaning, and that word is rahma, right? Rahma is also to show compassion, to show mercy, to be tender, to be kind towards someone. So how is this different? Remember that ra'fa, the word ra'fa, actually denotes a more special and more tender form of affection compared to rahma. So ra'fa is more tender. It is said that it is araqqu min ar-rahma. It is even more tender than mercy. Or it is said that ra'fa is actually the utmost degree of compassion. It is extreme compassion, or a lot of tenderness, a lot of sympathy. So it is its kamal. Now, a lot of the linguists, they have explained the difference between mercy and compassion, or rahma and ra'fa. So Ibn Manzur, for example, he says that ra'fa is actually more tender than rahma. How a person can be merciful yet stern or firm at the same time. Right? For example, as a parent, you are merciful towards your children. So there are times when you are disciplining them and they're not pleased, right? You are trying to discipline them out of mercy for them, and you have to put them in that timeout, or you have to, give them a warning. You have to make them do their homework. You have to make them, clean up the mess that they have made. And you can see that they're not happy. You can see that they're very upset. And it's quite possible that you are also, feeling that discomfort when you are trying to discipline your children. right? But you are still being merciful towards them. You take your child to the doctors, right? And your child is not happy. Your child is crying. But you hold your baby, you hold your child firm in your arms so that the doctor can, give the needle or whatever that they have to do. So one could argue over here that this is not mercy, but actually it is mercy. Why is it mercy? Because in mercy, what you're doing is that for a greater benefit, you basically do what you have to do. You are stern when that is needed. Why? Because you know that the consequence is good, right? You know that the result is good. It is something that is going to be favorable and beneficial. Now, this is the concept of rahma, right? And this is why, as Muslims, we believe that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tests a believer, a servant, then yes, on the outward, on the surface, it seems like the person is suffering. But in reality, that suffering is actually beneficial for the slave, right? And we call that a mercy. Why? Because yes, it appears to be painful, but in reality, it is beneficial for that slave. Right? It is something that's going to purify them. It is something that's going to make them stronger. It is something that's going to increase them in their rewards, etc. So this is the concept of rahma. All right? You could say that it is a very motherly love, right? Because mothers, in their mercy for their children, sometimes they're also very firm and stern. Right. Now, ra'fa, on the other hand, ra'fa is a manifestation of mercy that is always with a sense of pity and sympathy. So you could say that ra'fa is pure compassion. All right. It is pure pity. So basically, out of ra'fa, you do not let any harm touch the one that you are being compassionate towards, no matter what the reason. So this is why ra'fa is explained as the most intense form of mercy, okay? So for example, sometimes you will see grandparents who are very, very affectionate and loving towards their grandchildren, right? And because of that, they're very loving, and because of that, they will spoil the grandchildren, basically. They will let them jump on the bed. They will let them jump on the couches. They will let them run around the house. They will let them, make a mess, etc. And their ultimate concern is that the children should be happy, right? And ra'fa is such that with it, it's different from rahma in the sense that because of ra'fa, you don't want any harm to touch the other, all right? You want the very best for them. So it is pure pity and pure compassion. And this is why we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the punishment that is given to the man and the woman who commit zina, is that فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدَةً, right? That flog them with 100 lashes. And then it is said, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And there should be no ra'fa, no pity, no sympathy in your heart for them in regard to the religion of Allah. Meaning, out of pity and compassion for them, do not pardon the penalty. Notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say over here that do not be moved by rahma. Okay, rather it is said do not be moved by ra'fa. Because if you're moved by ra'fa, then you don't want the people who are being given the punishment to be punished, right? But if you're moved by rahma, by mercy, then what that means is that yes, you acknowledge that this is extremely painful, that this is extremely difficult, but you know that it is necessary. Why is it necessary? Because that penalty is a mercy. How is it mercy? That it is painful, but it is a purification. It is difficult to watch, but it is a deterrent. So there could be something that outwardly seems to be adab, but in reality, it is a blessing. And this is why we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rahim, right? He is Ra'uf and he is Rahim. Now, Imam al-Qurtubi says that Ra'fa, meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows Ra'fa to a slave, then what happens is that Ra'fa is a blessing that is enjoyable in every aspect, in every way. Okay, meaning there is no difficulty attached to it, right? It is something that the slave will find beneficial in every way possible. And rahma, on the other hand, could be such that a person experiences pain in one situation, but then the outcome is beneficial. It is enjoyable. And this is why Imam al-Qurtubi says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ, right? That pity should not move you when the punishment is being carried out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say rahma over here because the penalty is in fact a mercy for them, right? It is not compassion. It is actually a mercy. So we see that because of ra'fa, someone is saved from what is painful, what is harmful. Now, we see that in the Quran, a lot of times the name Ra'uf actually comes with Rahim, right? And this shows us that both the names have their, distinct meanings. And together, yes, they intensify the meaning, but they also remind us of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf, right, in the sense that he protects us from harm, in the sense that he gives us that which is beneficial. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also Rahim, where what that means is that there are situations where we need that discipline, right? There are situations where we need that that pain or that difficulty. Why? For a greater good. And what is that greater good? That greater good could be purification, it could be learning, it could be growth, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf and he is Rahim. Now, going back to the meaning of Ra'uf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf, what does that mean? It means that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his slaves from harm. And he is very affectionate towards his slaves, which is why he protects his slaves from harm. Meaning that he imposes on us what is manageable, what we can handle, right? Now think about, worldly matters right now. When it comes to, human beings, our struggles when it comes to, finding food, making our homes, etc., our struggles are, easier, way easier compared to those of animals and birds, right? Think about it. Animals, birds have to migrate every season, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped us with intelligence. He has provided us with different, resources so that we have been able to live all over the earth in all different climates and all different landscapes. And, look at how animals have to, go in hibernation in the winter. Look at how far they have to travel. What difficult lives they live just in order to survive. And when it comes to human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with so much so that we are saved from hardship. We see in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 65, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَى, do you not see, أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that Allah has subjected for you whatever that is in the earth. And this is something amazing. Human beings, why is it that our population is basically out of control? We inhabit every part of the world. And we use so many resources of the world that other, that animals and species are going extinct, right? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything subjected for us. Now, of course, that means that we have to be, we have to use these resources responsibly. But the point is that the entire earth, all of its resources have been subjected for us, for our benefit. وَالْفُلْكَ تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِأَمْرِهِ And the ships sail in the water by his permission. وَيُمْسِكُ السَّمَاءَ أَن تَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds the sky lest it should fall on the earth except by his permission. Right? You know, like how it is said that there have been multiple mass extinctions on the earth. Right? And the latest one where the dinosaurs went extinct, you know, Allahu A'lam, but what is said is that there was something that fell from the sky which caused a mass extinction. So for so many years, the world has been made such that we are able to live. We are able to not just survive, but as human beings, we are thriving on planet Earth. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ Look at the end of the ayah. Allah says that indeed Allah is to the people, بِالنَّاسِ He is لَرَؤُوفٌ Surely very affectionate, رَحِيم, very merciful. He is رَؤُوف. So He constantly gives us that which benefits us. And He constantly protects us from that which is harmful to us. Then we see in Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the different animals that He has created, like for example, horses and donkeys and mules. And it is said, وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ They carry your burdens, right? Your bags, your belongings, the things that you, if you were to carry yourselves, you would get tired. So, وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَى بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِيهِ إِلَّا بِشِقِّ الْأَنفُسِ If you were to, you know, carry all those belongings on your own backs, and you were to travel all these, to all of these distant, far-off places, you wouldn't be able to do that except with great hardship. So why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these animals for us, subjected them for us, so that we may benefit from them? إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ Indeed, your Lord is surely affectionate and merciful. And He has pity on us, that He doesn't want us to get exhausted and tired. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with these means of transportation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is الرؤوف. This also means that He has lightened the burden of obligations on us. So He does not burden us with more than what we are capable of doing, with more than what we are capable of handling, right? And this is the reason why when it comes to, salah, when it comes to worship also, if a person is unwell and they're not able to stand and pray, it hasn't been, said that, no, even if you die, but you must stand and pray. No, you're not able to stand, sit down. You're not able to sit down, lay down. You're not able to fast right now, make up the fasts another time, right? You're not able to fast at all, give the fidya. So why is it that we have been given all of these allowances? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ra'uf towards us. He is very compassionate. He has sympathy for us. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-ra'uf, this means that He has also revealed guidance for us. And if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us upon the fitrah, right? He took the ahd alast with us before even, we were sent to the world. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many signs around us, right? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not required to send guidance to us. If He were not to send revelation, then who would dare question Him, right? Who would dare argue with Him? No one can object to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us in this world to fend for ourselves, to figure it all out ourselves. He has revealed guidance. So it is said in Surah Al-Hadid, ayah number 9, هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ That He is the one who sends down on His slave verses that are clear. لِيُخْرِجَكُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ In order to bring you out of darknesses into light. And this is not just from misguidance into guidance, but also from unawareness, from ignorance to knowledge, right? From grief to relief. So لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Yani the Quran, the verses of the Quran are not just verses that offer us information. They offer guidance. They are transformative. They change the state of your heart. They uplift you. They remove grief from you. They make you happier. They provide guidance to you. So such powerful, beneficial verses. Why? وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَّحِيمٌ. And indeed, Allah is to you all surely affectionate and merciful. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ra'fa towards us, that He has revealed guidance. He has revealed the Qur'an. Then we see that it is out of His ra'fa, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf, that He preserves the good deeds of His slaves even after they die. So we learn, for example, that when the verses regarding the change of qibla were revealed, some of the companions, they wondered that what about, you know, our friends who passed away while they were still praying towards the previous qibla, right? They were still praying salah facing the previous qibla. So they wondered, are their salah, the prayers that they performed, are they valid? Or they're now invalid, what's going on? So Bara radiallahu anhu reported this, and he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, meaning as a clarification, as a response. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 143, that وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ, that Allah would not at all waste your faith. And by faith, what is mentioned is your salah, your worship that you performed with iman. Right? Why? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is towards people surely affectionate and merciful. So He does not waste the good deeds of His slaves. Then we see that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf, He gives respite to His slaves and does not punish them immediately. And even though, if you think about it, the kind of things we do, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, the kind of things we say, in our arrogance, in our negligence, in following our desires, in our foolishness, in our ghafla, the kind of things we do, technically we deserve punishment instantly. Astaghfirullah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His ra'fa, with His compassion towards us, He keeps giving us respite. And you think about it, sometimes, as mothers, as fathers, as parents, as older siblings, as teachers, we get very, very impulsive in punishing, right, our children or our students. That as soon as they do something wrong, immediately we lash out. Immediately we give stern warnings, right? Immediately we give consequences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very affectionate towards us, right? He knows that we forget. He knows that we are overcome by our weaknesses, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us respite. In Surah An-Nahl, ayah 45 to 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a warning. He says, أَفَأَمِنَ الَّذِينَ مَكَرُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ. Do those people who plot evil things, do they feel secure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cause the earth to swallow them? Yani, how do they feel secure when doing wrong things? Do they think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not able to cause the earth beneath their feet to swallow them? أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Or the punishment can come to them from where they do not even perceive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause that to happen. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Or He can seize them with punishment in their taqallub, meaning in their turning about, whether they're turning about in their bed or they're turning about, going in and out, going from place to place, from one task to another, one sin to another, scrolling, right, swiping, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can seize them right there and then, and they would not be able to escape. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفٍ. Or He can seize them gradually. فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. But the fact is that your Lord is surely affectionate and merciful. So he does not punish immediately. Rather, he gives us respite because he is Ra'uf. He is compassionate towards us. Then we see that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf, he warns us before even we present ourselves for punishment. Before we do what is wrong and what makes us worthy of punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, so that we learn and we stop our wrongdoing. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Day of Judgment. And he says, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. That is the day when every person will find whatever good they did present, and also whatever evil they did. Meaning a person will find every deed of theirs present before themselves, whether it is a good deed or a bad deed. And at that time, a person will wish, تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. A person will wish that there was a huge distance between him and his sins. And a person will want to be far away from their sins. Not seen with them, not even close to them. This is how much a person will dislike their own sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. Allah warns you of himself. You should be afraid of Allah. Allah warns you. Allah makes you fear himself. That fear Allah. And then it is said, وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah is affectionate towards the slaves. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving this warning? Because he wants us to fear him. And this is, and this warning is given, so we fear him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is compassionate towards us. This is his compassion towards us, that he has warned us, that he has informed us about that day, about the difficulties, about the hardships of that day, and about the hisab, the accounting that we're going to face on that day. All of these warnings are not just, to threaten us. No, this is out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion towards us, so that we save ourselves. We stop doing what will put us in danger. So remember that, sometimes people want to ignore the verses of punishment that are mentioned in the Quran or the description of hell, right? People just want to focus on, God is love, God is merciful, etc. And that's nice. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given clear warning. He has also given clear threats. And these are not empty threats. There is very horrific, description of hellfire in the Quran. That when you hear it, it gives you goosebumps. It makes you shudder in fear. And why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us these warnings? Because he is compassionate towards us. He wants us to save ourselves because we are responsible for what we do. And then we see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf, he is compassionate towards us, it means that he protects us from the consequences of our own mistakes. There are times when we fall in error, right? There are times when we make mistakes, sometimes as individuals and sometimes as communities, as groups of people, as a family, we make mistakes. And, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to realize our mistake and to seek forgiveness from him. So the same thing happened in Medina at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the hypocrites, they spread a false rumor in regard to Aisha radiallahu anha, where they accused her of committing zina. And this rumor was spreading in Medina, right? And it is mentioned in Surah An-Nur, ayah number 19 and 20, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That those people who love, who want that indecency should spread amongst those who believe, then, and because of that, they spread such indecent talk or they spread such indecent rumors, and they're very happy with the news that perhaps someone did something indecent, and they spread such information around, or they spread fahisha, yani indecent things, etc. They try to publicize it amongst those who believe. It is said, for such people is a painful punishment in the world and in the hereafter. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you do not know. And then it is mentioned in the next ayah, walawla fadlullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu. And if it was not for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, then all of you would have been punished for what you did. Wa anna Allaha ra'ufur rahim. And the fact is that Allah is ra'uf. He is affectionate. He is merciful. So these verses were revealed, and the Muslims realized their mistake, and the people who were guilty, yes, they were given the punishment, and the rest of the people, they learned a lesson, and this lesson is applicable till today, which means that when we hear something fahish, when we hear something indecent or something that does not have an evidence, then we should not spread it around. And even when we find out that someone may have done something indecent, who employed you to be the town crier, right? Don't spread such indecent news around everywhere. And then we see that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf, He guides His slaves to the right path, and He increases His slaves in reward and in good things. And so, for example, in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 207, we learn, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ, that among the people is the one who sells himself. Why? Who sacrifices himself, who gives up so much of himself. Why? إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, in order to seek the approval of Allah. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, and Allah is very affectionate towards the slaves. Now, this ayah was revealed regarding Suhayb al-Rumi radiallahu anhu, who when he migrated, he was migrating from Mecca to Medina, we learned that the mushrikeen stopped him, right? They prevented him. And they said that the only way you can leave is that you give up all of your wealth. And he radiallahu anhu did not hesitate. He gave it all up. And he made his way to Medina empty-handed, right? So he sold himself, and not literally, but that he was willing to give up all of his wealth, right? And it's wealth because of which a lot of times, through which we determine our self-worth, especially men, right? So he did not hesitate giving that up for the sake of Allah. And Allah is ra'ufun bil ibad, very affectionate towards his slaves. So whatever that he sacrificed, whatever that he gave up in the way of Allah for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did not let that go waste. There was immense reward for him, bi-idhnillah. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf, he is affectionate towards his slaves, this also means that he bestows upon them even more blessings when they are in hardship. And when people are in hardship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even more affectionate towards them. So in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 117, we learn, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned in mercy towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards those who immigrated and to the Ansar. الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ, those who followed him, meaning those who followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hour of difficulty. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ, even after the hearts of some among them kind of deviated. This is referring to the expedition of Tabuk, which is described as the hour of difficulty. It was extremely hard, very, very difficult to go on that expedition. Many, many sacrifices the companions had to make. So the ayah begins with لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned in mercy towards them. And then again it is said ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ, then again He turned in mercy to them. إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, he is to them very affectionate and merciful. So the companions went all the way to Tabuk. There was no battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. But there were, alliances that the Muslims established, and it also sent a message, you know, to the enemy that we are prepared for whatever that you want. We are not afraid. We are capable of fighting you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very affectionate. These people, they were in hardship, yet they did not, stay back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned in mercy to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them benefit in this life, and there is much greater reward awaiting them in the next life. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf, He is so affectionate towards the slaves, what are we supposed to do? What is our part? Our responsibility is that first and foremost, we think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have husnul dhan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, sometimes we're so focused on this is not working, that is not working, this is messed up, this is so hard, this is like this and this is like that. And we're constantly complaining. And we overlook the ease and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Right? We should remember that Allah is ra'uf to us. And you think of, first of all, if there is any difficulties you're experiencing, that is also out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, right? But compared to the difficulty that you're experiencing, consider all of the ease, all of the blessings, all of the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. All of those good things. You see, earlier I mentioned about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us the means of transportation, right? The fact that we're able to travel from place to place. Now, whether that is happening on a bike, or that is happening in a car, or that's happening in a train or a plane, right? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion towards us. But how often we find only reasons to complain about even the means of transportation. Right. Imagine if the only way of traveling was on foot, and imagine if we had to carry all of our belongings on our shoulders, life would become extremely hard. So think good of Allah. Think good of Allah. Allah is ra'uf. He is very affectionate. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf, we should believe that anything that we give in the way of Allah, or we give up in the way of Allah, it is not lost and it is not wasted. Remember Suhaib al-Rumi? He had to give up his wealth in order to make hijrah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him so much. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And you're not required to give everything of yours in the way of Allah. But whatever you do, sometimes there are those situations where you have to give up a lot, where you have to give a lot. Then where you do that, remember that what you have given is not going to be wasted. It is recorded with Allah. So any kind of sacrifice you're making, whether it is of your sleep, or it is of your comfort, or it is of your, enjoyment, anything you're giving in the way of Allah, you're giving up for the sake of Allah. Allah is ra'uf. He is very compassionate. He has a lot of pity for us, a lot of sympathy for us. So He's not going to ignore your sacrifice. He's not going to ignore your contribution, your effort. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ra'uf, this also means that we should not take His ra'fa for granted. Because remember, Allah is ra'uf, but He is also, He is also aziz. He is also mighty in His punishment, right? And remember, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah cautions you against Himself. And yes, He is also affectionate towards the slaves. So don't present yourself for punishment. Because remember, that when it comes to, you know, the verse in Surah An-Nur where the punishment for, legal punishment for zina is mentioned, it is said that you should not have any ra'fa. You should not have any compassion in your heart while that punishment is being carried out, right? Meaning, don't put yourself in a situation where you are not worthy of that ra'fa anymore. So don't take the ra'fa for granted. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf, this also means that we should show ra'fa. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows compassion, then we should also show compassion. And this compassion, yani we should show it, of course, to ourselves and also to those around us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very compassionate. In Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 128, it is said, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, that there has come to you a messenger from yourselves, meaning who's a human being like you, and عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, it is very hard on him that you suffer. And he does not like to see you in hardship. He doesn't like to see you in pain. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, he's very greedy for you, meaning he really wants good for you. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, towards the believers, he is رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمُ. The Prophet ﷺ was رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمُ towards the believers. And this is the quality of a good leader, of a successful leader. That عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, doesn't like to watch you suffer. And think about it, sometimes, unfortunately, people who are in a position of leadership or in a position of authority, they like to put others in hardship, right? حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, the Prophet ﷺ was very eager for them. He wanted good for the companions. Unfortunately, a lot of times people who are in a position of authority, in a position of leadership, what do they want? They want all good for themselves, not for the people who are working under them. The Prophet ﷺ was not like that. He was عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. So show ra'fa, show compassion to yourself and also to people. And this is a sign of the true followers of a prophet. We learn in Surah Al-Hadid, ayah 27, about the followers of Isa alayhi salam, meaning the people who truly followed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بِرُسُلِنَا وَقَفَّيْنَا بِعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلِ, that to Isa alayhi salam we gave Injil, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ, and we made in the hearts of those who followed him ra'fatan, compassion, wa rahmatan, and mercy. So the followers of Isa alayhi salam, those who truly followed him, what did they have in their hearts? Compassion and mercy. Even the companions are described in the Quran as ruhama'u baynahum, those who are merciful towards each other. So we need to see, how are we towards one another? Do we have sympathy? Do we feel compassion? Do we sense the suffering or the difficulty that someone is enduring? Or do we completely disregard that? The Prophet ﷺ was affectionate. The followers of Isa ﷺ, they were also affectionate. So we should also show affection. But remember that there is a time for ra'fa and there is a time for rahmah. What does that mean? This means that you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf and he is also rahim, right? He is ra'uf and he is rahim. So this means that there are some situations where rahmah is needed. What does that mean? That yes, you want the best for others, but in the time being, what they need is a little bit of strictness, a little bit of, you know, sternness. Why? For their own benefit. You cannot be lenient over there. And then there are other times where you have to be, you know, you have to show compassion. You have to show a lot of leniency. So there is a time and place for rahma, and there is a time and place for ra'fa. Meaning you cannot be compassionate and pitiful and lenient at all times, in all situations. So what are those situations where uh, we we have to show rahma instead of ra'fa. Because sometimes we think that, you know, we should be compassionate, and that means don't tell, don't warn, don't say anything, let people do whatever they want, everything is right, everything is good. No, that's not the case. So what are those situations where we have to be firm? First of all, in our belief in and our implementation of the hudud, any of the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So remember that when it comes to, you know, the legal penalty, the legal punishment for zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ, that you should not be moved by pity, right, for those who are being punished. Sometimes, you know, we do this, that someone is guilty of great crimes, and we start, you know, telling people that, no, we should be compassionate, we should forgive. That, you know, there are some cases in which, you know, there is no compassion to be shown to the criminal, right? There may be compassion in the way that you speak, but when it comes to the command of Allah, the punishment that Allah has legislated, who are we to change that? You know, how dare we say, or how dare we assume that we have more compassion than Allah? Astaghfirullah. How wrong of us to even think like that. Also remember that there is a time, there are situations where forgiveness, yes, it is recommended. And of course, that is an option that people have. But in other places, people also have the option to not forgive, right? So if someone is, within the legal system, if they're taking revenge, or if they are carrying out a legal punishment, they are demanding their just right, then don't start telling them, oh, show compassion. No, there is a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, a law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, and that law is very just, it is complete, it is very balanced. And so in the name of compassion, in the name of pity, don't try to change the law of Allah. And don't say that it is barbaric or that it is unfair. Secondly, in enforcing discipline also, we should be careful. We should be considerate, but that doesn't mean that in the name of pity and compassion, we don't, enforce any discipline. So for example, when it comes to the matter of salah, okay, the Prophet ﷺ clearly instructed that command the children to pray when they reach the age of 7, right? But then, as we know in the hadith, it is mentioned that when the child is 10 years old, right, and he refuses to pray, then fadribuhu, right? That then you can also use, some kind of punishment, right? Now, some people, they have a lot of difficulty in understanding this, okay? And they think that, when it comes to teaching Islam to our children, making them good Muslims, we have to be extremely lenient and gentle. Yes, you should be. You should be. But leniency, gentleness does not mean that we set no boundaries, we set no expectations for our children, because that is actually detrimental for them. When it comes to disciplining children, right? Psychologists say that there is basically four parenting styles, okay? And this is important. First of all, there is that parenting style of parents who are very authoritative. Authoritative means that they are, yes, very loving and very warm towards their children, but at the same time, they also exert firm control. What does that mean? That they express love, okay, but at the same time, they set very clear limits. They have rules, and they enforce those rules, and they expect mature behavior from their children, okay? And at the same time, they're very expressive. They show their love to their children. They hug them. They tell their children, I love you. The children feel secure with the parents. They don't feel threatened. But at the same time, children know that this is what my parents expect of me. These are the rules. Right. And, and because of that, children also follow. So the children of such parents, what happens is that they are more likely to do well in school. They adjust well. They are able to think through the consequences of their actions. The second way of parenting is described as the authoritarian style. And that is where basically the parents are always exerting authority. And they're so focused on exerting authority that they don't show enough love. Okay, so they're low in expressing their love, in warmth. So they're cold and they're controlling. And a lot of times, you know, when children say, "Why do I have to do this?" the answer is, "Because I said so." Okay, this is different. This is different from the first, because in the first, in the authoritative style, you are letting your children understand why it is important for them to do what they're doing. In the authoritarian style, what you're doing is you're just telling them, because I'm the boss, I'm your parent, I'm your mother, I'm your father, I told you, you have to listen. So the feelings of children are ignored, the punishments are strict, and such parents are not openly affectionate. What happens is that such children, they are more likely to feel guilty. They also become depressed, and they may begin to bully other children. The third style is of parents who are very permissive. Permissive meaning very, very loving, but no control, okay? Very few rules or no rules at all, and no consequences. And every time children do something wrong, the answer is, oh, they're just kids, right? They're still little. And such children who are basically allowed to do whatever they want, and sometimes, you know, their permissiveness becomes indulgence. So for such children, what happens is that they have a lot of trouble with their peers. They tend to be more immature. They tend to be more demanding. They're more impulsive, more rebellious, more aggressive. And then fourthly, the fourth style is that which is neglecting, meaning parents who tend to neglect their children. And this is basically where children are not shown enough love, right? And no control whatsoever. So basically, parents are uninvolved and they're uncaring. And children of such parents, you know, they likely act immature. They're lonely and at risk for abuse. They're insecure in their relationships. They're non-compliant. They're aggressive. They're more withdrawn. And as they get older, they also engage in delinquent or risky behavior. So with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he told us that at the age of 7, teach children to pray. And then at the age of 10, if they're not praying, there should be some consequences. Then this is what? This is the first style, right? Be authoritative. Don't be authoritarian, that I don't care about you, I said so, you better do this, or I'm going to slap you, I'm going to smack you, right? And don't be permissive either. And don't be neglecting, right? Because this is going to be detrimental for the children. So ra'fa, compassion, has its place. But at the same time, in the name of compassion, don't tell your children, oh, you don't want to pray? Fine, don't pray. No, you have to set some rules. You have to set some boundaries. And as people, we need boundaries. They're healthy for us. Also, it is not right to show pity when the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being violated, when the laws of Allah are being broken openly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn in the Quran, he was ra'uf, he was very compassionate towards the companions, but where someone did something wrong, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very stern. He was very clear. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, and remember, Ali radiallahu anhu is someone whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam deeply loved. Ali radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me a silk robe, yani a full dress of silk, all right? And the intention was not that Ali radiallahu anhu should wear it himself, because remember that silk is something that men are not allowed to wear, but men are allowed to, you know, use that silk, let's say for, you know, for selling in order to make a profit, or to give as a gift, you know, to someone, you know, like for example, you know, his wife, etc., to wear. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a silk suit. And Ali radiallahu anhu said that I went out wearing it. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it, I could see the anger on his face. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was visibly angry on seeing Ali radiallahu anhu wearing that whole silk dress. And so Ali radiallahu anhu went home and he gave that to the women of his household. Also remember that where people's religion is being affected, any negatively affected, then that is not a place for showing compassion. How we see, for example, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said that, O Messenger of Allah, I do not perform Fajr Salah with the Imam because the Imam makes the Salah really, really long. Okay. And on that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became furious. And the companions, Abu Mas'ud said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so furious that I had never seen him more furious than he was on that day. And he said that, O people, some of you make others dislike the salah. So whoever becomes an imam, he should make the prayer short. Why? Because behind him, there are those who are weak, there are those who are old, and there are those who have needs to fulfill. So where people's religion was being affected, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very stern in that matter. Also, we see that when someone's right is being compromised, then that is not a place to show pity. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that no woman made food better than Safiya radiallahu anha. And the way that she prepared food was the best. And once she sent some food to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was with Aisha radiallahu anha, and Aisha radiallahu anha said that I could not keep myself from breaking it. You know, she was so upset that she basically hit the dish fell, it broke, and the food fell on the ground. So then she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the expiation for that? And he said, a dish like that dish and food like that food. He didn't say, it's okay, I know you got jealous, I know you got upset, so no problem. No. Yes, you were jealous. Yes, you were upset. Your emotions are understandable, but your actions, you have to, you are responsible for them. So the dish that you broke, you have to replace that, right? Because the person whose dish it is, their right has been compromised. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was firm over there. Also, when people are being abused, then this is not a place for showing pity, that the abuser is shown pity. No, there has to be justice, okay? Where those who are being abused, they are the ones who are shown pity, not the aggressor, not the abuser. And unfortunately, what we do is that the person who is committing the abuse, we think so good of them, oh, they must be angry because of this reason or that reason. And we tell, victims of domestic violence, for example, that, be patient, forgive, etc. This is unfair. There is a place to show pity and there is a place where you demand justice. So we learned, for example, that one of the companions, he witnessed that someone, he was very angry and he slapped his slave. Okay, he slapped his slave. And it was a woman, a slave woman. He slapped her on her face. So this companions, he said that I was the seventh child, all right, of my father. And the youngest of us, meaning we were many children, and the youngest of us, right, he slapped the face of my father's female servant. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out, he told us to set her free. He told us to set her free. Even though a child or one of the children, Allahu a'lam what the age was at the time, he slapped the slave woman on the face, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, set her free. This is not right that she has to put up with this kind of abuse. This is unfair. And she should be set free. So what do you think? If a slave woman is not to be treated violently, what do you think about wives, right? And the people will, use a verse of the Quran, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, and based on that, they will go on committing abuse after abuse after abuse. And they forget that there is a particular context to that, a particular meaning to that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned very clearly that, you know, that the best of you will never do that. So where abuse is being committed, you don't show pity to the abuser. No, that is where you demand justice. So how do we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this beautiful name, Ar-Ra'uf? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, that we should call upon Him by His beautiful names. We see a beautiful dua in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hashr, ayah number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ, that the believers who came after the Muhajirun and the Ansar, they say, this is their dua. So this is a dua that especially we should make. And what is this dua? This dua is, رَبَّنَا غْفِرْ لَنَا, O our Lord, forgive us. وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ, and also forgive our brothers who accepted, you know, iman before us. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and do not make in our hearts any malice, any resentment for those people who believe. Keep our hearts clean. Do not allow us to build any resentment for believers. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, our Lord, indeed you are compassionate and merciful. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here to grant us that compassion, because of which we show forgiveness, we show tolerance, and we want the best for our Muslim brothers and sisters, community, people of our faith, and also people in general, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf, so we should also show compassion, and that is only possible when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with His mercy and His Ra'fa, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from doing anything that makes us deserve anything other than His Ra'fa, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create Ra'fa in our hearts also, so that we extend that to those who are around us. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.